skips a generation in their list of chronology. For example, in Zechariah chapter 1, verse 1, we have Zechariah saying, I am Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo. When we go over back into Ezra, we find Ezra saying, Zechariah the prophet, the son of Iddo. He skipped Beriah. Does that mean that we can say definitively who wrote Ezra? Was it the Ezra and was his father Sarai? And Ezra was alive in 586? What I'm saying is we cannot definitively know that. It is not a proof in and of itself. Even though Ezra says he is the son of Sarai, it's possible he was a grandson or a great grandson. So what I'm doing right now is I'm saying, I'm destroying one of my kind of proof claims that I did last week. Okay, now, I'm going to see if I can figure out, or maybe can. What I want to do is get all that stuff off the right hand side and drag it down to the bottom. You can figure out how to do that. Anyway, all right, so what we're doing is we're looking at our chart. And unfortunately, the part of the chart that I want to see is behind the graphic on the right. So, is there a mouse on this thing? There's no mouse.
Can you just pull down that screen on the bottom?
Sad thing is it doesn't show on the screen. There, maybe, no. What I see on the screen is not what I see on up there. Well.
We'll just figure it out. Okay, so as you notice, you have a piece of paper with a quiz on it. And your quiz, your questionnaire, maybe is a more accurate way to describe it, has a set of questions. And what I thought we'd do is we'd go through that, and we would try to answer them together. So, unfortunately, that doesn't keep me close. All right, so question number one. In what year was the first temple destroyed?
You want that up so you can just talk into it?
No, I was just going to stick it in here, but it looked like the thing was doing it.
Oh, it is.
It
fits, but it's not
forcing.
I'm not that thing.
Okay, so question number one. In what year was the temple destroyed? We can do one of two things. You can take a look at the graphic up there, and it tells you the year. Very simple and easy. Does anybody challenge the 586? So in the year 586, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple. Does anybody's Bible commentary, does anybody have any reason to challenge the year 586?
I wasn't there.
It was a long, long time ago. It was 2,500 years ago. It was a very, very long time ago. How do we know 586 is right? The way we know that 586 is right.
The writing on the rock wall.
Close. It was actually a clay tablet found in the city of Nineveh. And the clay tablet in the city of Nineveh had a bunch of cuneiform on it. And it's called the Babylonian Chronicle. It's also called the Jerusalem Chronicle. And in this chronicle, it has these little cuneiform symbols. And in those cuneiform symbols, it says, I, Nebuchadnezzar, conquered the city of Jerusalem in my 11th year. That is not 586.
It is the one and only reference that we have, and he doesn't even use the word Jerusalem. He says, the big city in Judea. So he says, I conquered that big city over Judea. It was the first time that Jerusalem was conquered. So what we do is we go back into the Bible and we find that Babylon came and conquered Jerusalem, put his own king in its place. So he took the first king, got rid of him, says, I'm going to put my choice in power. And as long as you do what I want you to do and you pay me to my taxes, we're good. Babylon makes that reference and it's found in a clay tablet found in the city of Nineveh. What's the name of the clay tablet?
What was the date?
I think it was 597. I'm not positive on that date, but I think that was the first time. So what we do is we go in and we say, does the Bible say anything about it? And the answer is yes. Babylon, the Bible does describe the first conquest of Babylon. And in that first conquest, we find, I think it's King Zedekiah was replaced by King Hezekiah. I can't remember exactly which king sat in its place. But effectively, the Bible says that happened. Then, in 586, Babylon came back because the kings of Judea refused to pay their taxes. They sided with Egypt. And Babylon says, no, you're paying us the taxes, not Egypt, and you're paying doing what we tell you to. And because you have rebelled, we're going to make an example of you. That story is only found in the Bible. It's not found in any clay tablet. But because we know what year Babylon was captured, or Jerusalem was captured the first time, and we know the sequence of the kings, based on Chronicles and 2 Kings, we can pick the year 586. So that's where the number 586 comes from. Now, keep in mind that they weren't using 586 back in that era. Instead, they were using during the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. They would say Nebuchadnezzar 1, 2, 3, 4. So you would have Nebuchadnezzar in his 11th year. And the Bible says in Nebuchadnezzar's 19th year, he came and destroyed the city of Jerusalem. We know when Nebuchadnezzar's each year was. And we know that because, again, in Nineveh, more clay tablets were found. In fact, they have a sequence of all the different rulers which were in charge not only of Syria, but then we also find the ones of the Babylonians. So there used to be something called the Lemuel. So a Lemuel is something that was set up under Assyria. And the new year, when the new year began, was a big deal. And so whoever was in charge of the New Year party for Assyria, for the Assyrian Empire, would be named the Lemuel. And that Lemuel not only was in charge of organizing the party, but was also given the name of the year. So we're going to name it the year of Biden, for example. Next year, we're going to name not Biden, but maybe we will name his Vice President Harris. So it will be Harris year. And the last year would have been probably the Trump year. And so Assyria had a new name for each year, every year, based on who was in charge of running the ceremonies for the new year. That's how the Assyrians did. It's called the Lemuel. There are at least 10 clay tablets found listing the Assyrian leaders by year, by name, and there's 10 copies of the same thing, and they'll say the same thing. By then taking that sequence of events and tying them to events in the Bible, that's how we end up putting the numbers on the top of the chart. Okay? Mm-hmm. Everybody agrees that 586, based on biblical record, is the year in which Jerusalem was destroyed. I don't think there's anybody that I've found that disputes 586. Except for maybe Robert. No? All right. So 586 is the year in which the temple was destroyed. And what happened when the temple was destroyed? What happened was Nebuchadnezzar had all the top leaders of the city, the king, multiple gatekeepers, the guys in charge of the army, the guys who are in charge of protecting the treasury. He marches them all out. The general takes them from Jerusalem, takes them up to the city about 70 miles north of Jerusalem, says, Nebuchadnezzar, this is where you're staying at. Here are the people who have rebelled. What do you want to do with them? Nebuchadnezzar killed them all. So they all died. They then took approximately, I think the Bible says, 7,000 other people who worked in Jerusalem, in the temple, in the capital, and they put them in chains, and they took them to battle. That is when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were taken. That's when Daniel was taken. That is when maybe Ezra was taken. All were taken to Babylon. That's when the 70 years of captivity started. So, what's our second question on our piece of paper? Oh, yeah, I did. So, the question is, how long were they captive? So the reference is in Jeremiah 29, verse 10. I actually have it quoted there up there on the screen in the red box, in that area there, that tells us when or how long you're going to be captive. Does anybody challenge the idea that Judea, Israel, would be captive in Israel for 70 years, or in Babylon for 70 years? For 70 years, they're going to be in battle. Anybody challenge them?
I don't challenge the 70 years, I challenge the time.
Okay, in what way?
For mindset, that's not the way I said that. But it started in the first captivity, the first kingdom of Israel, captive. We take that up to 5 or 6 years.
Okay, so if I'm understanding you correctly, what you're suggesting is that from 539 is the end of the 70 years. And that goes back into a date over here.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that theory before. And to my knowledge, I don't think there's any reference which says that anybody was taken captive over here. If there is, I'd be happy to see it. I'm unfamiliar with anything that says that.
Ron, would you be kind of show us how to get rid of that thing on the right and write
yes,
it down?
Sir.
We don't seem to have a mouse connected to it, and I can't
find it.
Right
there.
Ah, there we go. And by the way, since you did your homework, there's a cookie for you and Stephanie both in that. No, you're welcome to a couple of them.
I have them both.
Okay, so what evidence do we have that Dana might be right? That the 70 years does not start when the temple was destroyed. So can we find that reference?
That's what makes it work, right?
So what Dana is contesting is, all right, so let me just give the backstory so we understand where all we're at. So what happened was Babylon became a senate. They became a powerful country. And as they came into the area, they came to Judea. And they came to Judea long before the temple was destroyed. They came back over here about maybe 590 to the year 600, somewhere in there. Keep in mind as we go out, it's going to get bigger. So as we come over here, Babylon comes in and says, okay, you guys are going to pay taxes, right? Yeah, we'll pay you taxes. Okay, you are now considered conquered. Okay? And you, as long as you pay us tribute, all's good. The year that first happened, okay, we can figure that out. I know that the year that that happened was in the 11th year of Nebuchadnezzar. The temple was destroyed in his 19th year. So 8 years earlier than 586 would be 590
Right, go back. So in the year 594 would be the year. So those of you who have your phones, see if you can find any evidence and any reference to that or Jerusalem being taken captive in 594. We do know that Judea was taken captive in 586. The question was, were they taken before as well? Was there two time periods in which they were taken captive? To my knowledge, 586 is the one and only year in which there was Daniel and Ezra and etc. In fact, that reference is in 2 Kings 25. So if you take a look at 2 Kings chapter 25, it gives the history and the story of Israel being taken captive. And Dana is suggesting that there may have been an event that happened before that. And maybe she's right. I'm not familiar with it. So let's look at the story of 2 Kings 25. Go down, you know, the whole chapter is basically describing the event, but if you go down to at least verse 18 or so, it discusses who was taken out and what happened to them. But if the entire chapter, I believe, if I remember correctly, is speaking about when Judea was conquered, they had been rebellious, they had sided with Egypt, which made Babylon very unhappy. And this is when the captives were taken. Anybody find anything different?
I got down here, 597 BC is when Babylonians and the Queen Nebuchadnezzar besieged and conquered Jerusalem. 597.
So 597 would have been the first time they attacked Jerusalem. That's when they would have taken them and said, you know, start paying taxes. That's when they would have put on the throne in Judea the king of their choice.
Okay.
Zedekiah.
So that's when they would put Zedekiah on the throne. And Zedekiah, according to the Bible, was warned by Jeremiah. Okay, so what happened is this. Egypt says, we're tired of paying taxes. And by the way, what Egypt had to pay in taxes was two things. Egypt paid in taxes a large quantity of silver and a large quantity of grain. That was their annual tribute. They had to feed approximately 25% of the Babylonian army. That was the requirement. That's the tax that Egypt had to pay. You're going to feed 25% of our army, and you're going to give us a couple of tons of silver every year. Now, it's kind of interesting as you go through, and I don't know what the Babylonian taxes were, but there is a record of what the Persians charged each of their provinces in taxes. And they would say, all right, we're going to tax India. So they had conquered at least all the way up to the river Kush in India. And they said, your tax is trees. We want you to send us over. They go over to Lebanon, and the primary tax from the Lebanon area was also trees. That's what they wanted from that area. And they would collect gold from many of the other areas, and silver from Egypt and grain from Egypt. And then from the Scythians, I thought was curious, is they had to send them 100 eunuch boys each year. As a part of, that was their tribute. So the tax that you have to pay is you have to send us 100 boys each year.
They have to be castrated.
And they have to be castrated. Now, what's interesting is that the story of Daniel, basically, when he was taken captive, he was taken captive as a youth, and they wanted him as a eunuch, and that's what his role was in this empire. So what the Babylonians did was they brought in young boys from across the entire empire, and they basically made them the scribes and the court officials in their empire. Anyway, that was one of the provinces' taxes that had to be paid.
So, first time that Babylon came and they knocked on the door of Jerusalem was in, you say, 597?
Yeah, but then it went on to say that, that the king's reign ended in 586-87 when Jerusalem was destroyed.
Okay. Which matches what I'm
understanding.
So what happened was Zedekiah says, okay, we've got sidetracked here. So Egypt says, we're not paying you all this grain. We're tired of shipping you all of our food while our people get hungry. So we're not going to do it. So Nebuchadnezzar gets in his chariot, rides down to Egypt and says, yes, you are paying me your grain and your silver. And if you don't, I'm destroying you. And he did. He destroyed the Egyptian army. In fact, he writes out a nice little pillar, stele, and he puts in his Babylonian tablets and cuneiform tablets. I conquered every single Egyptian and killed them all, every last one in the army. That's what he says. On his way back home, he says, Judea, you sided, Zedekiah, you sided with Egypt. In fact, if you read the story in the Bible, Jeremiah says, do not side with Egypt. If you side with Egypt, God's going to punish you. That's the story of Jeremiah. They sided with Egypt. On the way back, we find the story that's told in 2 Kings 25, where Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, said, you guys have not been good. You've sided with Egypt. We're going to punish you for doing it, and we're going to destroy your city. And so they did. They conquered the city. They broke the walls. They burned down the houses. They took everything out of the temple. They took all the silver. They took all the gold. They took the altar of incense. They took the table of showbread. They chopped them all up, melted them down, and shipped them all to Babylon. Plus, they took at least 7,000 people from Judea to Babylon, and that all happened in 586.
I need my computer.
Okay. So next,
did the Ark of the Covenant escape being destroyed, or do we know?
It was destroyed, taken to Babylon, and melted down.
Okay.
That was the first ark. All right. Next question. We talked about this last week. In which book of the Bible did God himself give the instruction to rebuild the temple? So remember, what had happened is in 586, the temple is destroyed. God wants his temple rebuilt. In what book of the Bible do we find that story? It's a two-chapter book. And we talked about it last week. In fact, we even put it up on the screen in really tiny print. What was it? Not Hezekiah. No. In fact, there's not a book called Hezekiah. It is a short book. It starts with the letter H. It's two chapters. It's the book of Haggai. The book of Haggai, chapters 1 and chapter 2, happens, in my opinion, to be one of the more important books on this subject. In fact, it turns out to be one of the very important books of the Bible. It's one of the
reading. I haven't read it in a long time.
All right, so it's a short chapter 1. Go ahead, and I'm going to have the microphone shut in front of you, and I'm going to let you read it. That might be easier said than done.
In the second year of King Darius.
Okay, notice you already said something important. Boom, that happens to be right here where this yellow bar is at. It's the second year of King Darius. It's long after the temple was destroyed, so Haggai is saying these words here in the middle of the chart. Got it?
On the first day of the 6th month,
I'm not going to interrupt you. Oh, I couldn't. It happens to be the month of Elul. And the first day of the 6th month happens to be 30 days before the Feast of Shouts. And according to Jewish tradition, the first day of the sixth month is when they begin to prepare for the Feast of Shabbos. Anyway, sorry.
No, I think that's important.
Just
it's festival where you're going to make a lot of noise.
Yes. The month before.
The word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest.
By the way, that high priest that we are talking about is the descendant of Sirai, and happens to be perhaps the brother of Ephraim.
He in that list of genealogy, you read that scripture?
He was not. He's given actually back in the first and second Chronicles.
This is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. That yeah. Word of the Lord came to the prophet.
Sorry for the commentary, but we got interrupted.
All right, so what we have is right here in the second year of King Darius, which happens to be 17 years after Cyrus issued the decree to restore and rebuild the temple. So Cyrus says, everybody who's captive in Babylon, you're welcome to go back to Jerusalem, and you're welcome to build your temple. In fact, you're going to build it in my name. You can call it the Cyrus Temple, because I've done this for you. I've let you go back and build it. That decree was issued in 539, and here Haggai is giving the report 17 years later, whatever that is, saying, you guys haven't built my temple yet.
And the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, quote, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your panel houses while this house remains in ruin? Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not worn. You earn wages, only to put them into a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord God Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build my house, so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord.
You have verse 8.
That's verse 8.
Keep that verse in mind. God himself is giving the instruction to build his temple.
You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty, because of my house, which remains your ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains and on the grain, the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else that God produces. My people and livestock and all the labor of your hands.
So keep in mind what we're being told is back here in the reign of Cambius, just before Darius takes control, there's been a drought. In fact, this entire region and territory in this era has been dry. That's what Haggai has just been telling.
There's room. The son of Shealtiel, Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent them, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. And they came and began to work in the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month.
So in year two of Darius, they've been told by Haggai, by God, via Haggai, to build the temple. And they immediately started doing that. 24 days later, they're starting construction.
Who was it that gave them all the funds and the finances? Has that happened yet?
That has not happened yet. Well, keep reading.
In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, Speak to Zerubbabel. Let me check it too. Send out a shield for the governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of Josedek, high priest, to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? Be now strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant my peace, declares the Lord Almighty. On the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, 671, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. And Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, says the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer there is defiled. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid upon another in the Lord's name. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from the 24th day of the ninth, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought, is there any seed left in? Till now, the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not borne fruit. From this day on, I will bless you. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, that I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers, horses, and the riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you my signet, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty.
That is the book Haggai. The book of Haggai contains the decree by God himself to build the temple, the second temple. That decree was given in year 2 of the reign of Darius. So it says, hey.
Kind of a recapitulation of the decree that
Cyrus
did. Haven't done. You have to order.
So now we need to go to read another chapter. Now we want to go to the book of Ezra. We want to read chapter 7. Well, do that for us. She gets to all of us. Chapter 7 of Ezra.
After these things during the reign of Artaxerxes, king of Persia.
I'm skipping a spot here. What we want to do is not Ezra chapter 7, we want to look at Ezra chapter 6. Right. Ezra chapter 6.
King Darius then issued an order. They searched in the archives stored in the treasury of Babylon.
So King Darius is now in power, and he'll soon tell us the year.
A scroll was found in the citadel of Ecbatana in the province of Media, and on it this was written. Memorandum. In the first year of King Cyrus, the king issued a decree concerning the temple of God in Jerusalem. Let the temple be rebuilt as a place to present sacrifices, and let its foundations be laid. It is to be 60 cubits high and 60 cubits wide, with three courses of large stones and one of timbers. The costs are to be paid by the royal treasury. Also, the gold and silver articles of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took from the temple of Jerusalem and brought to Babylon, are to be returned in their places in the temple in Jerusalem. They are to be deposited in the house of God.
Okay, so far what we've learned is that during the reign of Darius, that they pulled out the scroll from Cyrus, who gave the decree in Ezra 1, who said, you're going to rebuild my temple. It's going to be 90 feet high. It's going to be 90 feet wide. And you can have back all the stuff that we took out of the temple that we had to put down. Keep going with the chapter 6.
Now then, Tatanai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar Bozenai, and you other officials of that province, stay away from there. Do not interfere with the work on this temple of God. Let the governor of the Jews and the Jewish nobles rebuild this house of God. Moreover, I hereby decree what you are to do for these elders of the Jews in the construction of the house of God. Their expenses are to be fully paid out of the royal treasury from the revenues of the Trans-Euphrates, so the work will not stop.
By the way, the other phrase that's usually used in the version we're on the reading is called the Trans-Euphrates. In many of your other versions, would be called the province beyond the river. And in Persian, it is called Buta, something like that. And that refers basically everything from Turkey all the way down to Egypt was considered one province. And so Damascus and Jerusalem, Sidon, all of that region is what we're talking about here. So the governor who happens to be living up north of here and is the enemy of Israel, he's being told this is what you're going to do.
Whatever is needed, young bulls, rams, young lambs for burnt offerings to the God of heaven, and meat, salt, wine, and olive oil, as requested by the priests of Jerusalem, must be given to them daily without fail, so that they may offer sacrifices pleasing to the God of heaven and pray for the well-being of the king and his sons.
By the way, if we go back to Ezra chapter 4, it tells us what year this happens. In 4, verse 24, it tells us all that you've been reading here in chapter 6. Happens in the second year of Darius, which happens to be the same year that Haggai had his vision from God. So what happened in year 2 of Darius, this yellow bar here in 520, we have the vision from God, repeated 3 times to Haggai. We have Darius himself, the king of Persia, in his second year, has reaffirmed the Cyrus decree. They went back, they found the scroll for the Cyrus issue. And Darius is saying, everything that Cyrus said, do it, and don't get in their way, and use all the funds from the Persian Empire that you guys would have collected and sent to me. Use it for these guys instead. So if you'd like to tell the state of Washington, all of the income tax that you guys would be collecting and sending to Washington, don't send it to Washington, D.C. Instead, keep it in the state of Washington and use it to build the Jewish Center. Make it nice.
Furthermore, I decree that if anyone defies this edict, the beam is to be pulled from their house and they are to be impaled upon it. For this crime, your house is to be made private for you. May God, who caused his name to dwell there, overthrow any king or people who lifts his hand to change this decree and to destroy this temple in Jerusalem. I, Darius, have decreed it. Let it be carried out.
Right. So we're going to have to again. So basically what Darius is saying is, look, you guys are going to build this temple, and you are not going to interfere with it. All of you people who are enemies of the Jews, get out of the way, or I will kill you. You're going to let them build their temple. This is all being said in year 2 of Darius, which is 520.
At the same time, the Jews are getting the message from God.
Same time, the Jews are getting the message from God via the prophet Haggai saying, still, this is when, if we go back and we read Haggai, it says, the Spirit of God inspired Zerubbabel and his cohort to start doing it. You've been sitting around for 17 years after the decree of Cyrus, you haven't built my temple. I'm tired of waiting. You're going to do it, and I'm going to lose you. That's what Haggai
is giving you everything you need.
And I'm giving you everything you need. And this includes, so in Haggai, it says, go up to the mountains and get the law. In Ezra, Darius is telling the governor of the territory, give them everything they need to build this temple. Okay.
Need any more?
Yes, let's keep going just a little bit. What verse do you have?
13.
Yeah, we want to read two more verses.
Then, because of the decree, King Darius had sent Tatnai, the governor of the Trans-Euphrates, and Shethlabazar, and their associates, carried it out with diligence. So the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the descendant of Haggai. They finished building the temple according to the command of God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month of Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius.
That is this red bar. Sixth year of Darius is this red bar. So verse 15 tells us that the temple was completed in the sixth year of one of these kings.
Now there's a lot of discussion between building of the wall around Jerusalem and building the temple. Some of the decrees specify both, and some of them specify.
That's true. We can talk about that later, but just to reference what Ron is talking about, is here's when the wall is built and dedicated, which happens to be 14 years after this. Okay? Now, we could instead say that the king that is being referenced here is not Darius. We could say instead it's King Longimanus.
Because of the Artaxerxes reference here?
Because of the Artaxerxes reference. It's an important thing that we need to figure out what the answer is to. So, is the decree issued in the seventh year of King Darius, or is the decree issued in the seventh year of King Longimanus? Longimanus definitely has the name of Artaxerxes. The question is, does Darius also have the name of Artaxerxes? Now, before we go into that discussion, Ron's been reading Haggai and Ezra chapter 6. So what we have is this big red bar here in the 70 years of captivity. Now, Dana has suggested that the 70 years is not from here to here, but rather the 70 years is from over here to here. However, I think it's pretty obvious that a large number of Jews were taken captive in 586. That's what the Bible tells us in 2 Kings 25. And I don't know of any reference to a bunch of Jews being taken captive back here in the first time the Babylon started the commandment. But maybe that's not correct.
I agree. That's probably the one that we most probably went from.
So, 586.
There were three separate ones that were done.
Three separate conquests of Jerusalem?
Yes.
Okay. And
it also makes sense though, because with Cyrus, there had to be some significance to him being mentioned ahead of time before he even gave the decree.
I agree. With Cyrus,
that fits so that it would come right at the end so that his prophecy would have been fulfilled.
Fair enough point, and I think we should explore that. But what we would need to do is go back 70 years and see if any of that happened. We would also want to know when Jeremiah 29, verse 10 was written. We do know when we read through that, if we look at 29 in that context, that Jeremiah wrote that letter while they were in Babylon. Jeremiah was not in Babylon. He was in Judea when he wrote it. And he wrote it to the exiles who are in Babylon. We're not told what year he wrote the letter, to my knowledge, but maybe I need to research that. I don't care.
He could be including from the time he went.
That's possible, yes. Oh,
is this the same temple that's referred to as Herod's temple?
Yes, this temple that is being built and is completed in the seventh year of this king or in this king is the second temple. It is what is now called Herod's temple. And the reason it's called Herod's temple is because 400 years later, that temple, 450 years later, that temple was embellished and added on to the temple or the fortress of Antioch, which is big. Fortress that overlooks the temple was built and added on.
Okay.
Except so that's it. Herod expanded for Herod big time. He went from this campus and he added a bunch of territory around it and built a whole lot of things, and therefore it was renamed to Herod's temple. But it is this same temple that we're talking about. And the reason we care. It's something we should talk about. I mean, this is history. Most people turn their nose up at history and say, I'm bored of tears. Let's go do something else. But there is a reason why we're talking about this. We'll get to it in a minute. All right.
I think it's interesting, you know, that with this command and all the taxes that were flowing in different routes, that's not going to last very long. Right? People aren't going to put up with that. Either people in Babylon are used to get this money, or the people gave it. And to have the temple have this go on for 50 years seems a stretch.
Either from here to here or from here to here is what you're saying. Okay.
And it's pretty clear here it's in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Artaxerxes is mentioned as being decreed.
So, all right, just to briefly talk about, in fact, I've written an entire paper on the subject of who is Artaxerxes that is referenced here in this verse. And I'd be happy to share with you that paper if you want to go to the scholarly route of it. But the way it reads is King Darius, who is also known as Artaxerxes, is one way of translating. It's not the way that most Bibles translate and use the word and Artaxerxes. But it would be accurate to say, so the example that's given in the theological word dictionary in the Old Testament is this. So as we all know, Jennifer and I have been kind of looking at Hebrew trying to figure out. There's a single character that's inside in front of the word Artaxerxes that is off of the German. But what happens is this. If I tell you the Strait of San Juan de Fuca and the ocean, the way that simple, that one character, and, can be interpreted to be that there are two different things, or that they're saying that they are one and the same thing. And it can be read either way. So it is legitimate to read chapter 6, verse 15, or whatever it was, is that it is Darius who is also Artaxerxes, or you could read it, it is Darius and Artaxerxes, two different individuals. It can be read either way accurately. So that does not help us solve the problem, was it? This guy who gave that degree, or was it this guy who gave the degree? But almost everybody will agree chapter 6 is here. It's chapter 7, which is often put over here. Chapter 6, virtually every biblical commentator, theologian agrees, goes in the year 516, in the sixth year of King Darius.
All right, tell us why we care.
Why do we care? Because 457 over here is a sacred number. And I literally mean sacred. That number is one which the prophecy of Daniel 9 talks about. 25 and 27 is based on it. So almost every Christian will take the prophecy of Daniel 9:25, which is one of the 70 sevens. From the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem, there will be 70 sevens. There will be 62 sevens, there will be seven sevens, and there will be 62 sevens, and there will be a split one seven. That prophecy is almost universally used as proof of Jesus. And therefore, 457 has to be the year in which the decree to rebuild the temple has to be given for that prophecy to work. As we look at our Bible, we are told in the Bible that 586 is the year in which the temple is destroyed. We know that a large number of Jews were taken captive in this year, according to 2 Kings, the beginning of the 586. If we put the temple being finished here in 516, that is 70 years. If we put the temple being finished here, and as we're coming and reading the law, which is talked about in the next chapter, chapter 7, then we go from here, when the temple is destroyed, and we go all the way here, and that's 129 years. Then.
So when we put the temple, were you saying, I would be very much to be there?
Right here?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's that decree in 457 is for the rebuilding of the walls.
Okay. We can definitely. We can look at that. Okay. So we are. All right. So let's do that right here. So, we need to go to the book of Nehemiah in order to look at that.
Explain your question a little bit.
Okay, so Dan is asking this question. When we take a look at Ezra and Nehemiah, there are four decrees in total which are issued by either Cyrus, Darius, and or Longimanus. Okay? The first decree is issued by Cyrus, and it looks very, very, very much like the decree to restore and rebuild the temple. That one is explicit. It meets virtually every one of the requirements, except for it's kind of a weird tie. Okay? So this decree looks really strong. The second decree was issued by Darius, which was really just a reaffirmation of the Cyrus decree. That's what Ron just read there in chapter 6. We found the scroll at the request of the people in Judea. What should we do? Should we allow the Jews to build, or should we continue to harass them and stop them from building? You tell us what you want to do. You're the new king. And, you know, we really don't like them, but we'll do whatever you tell us to. And Darius says, let them build, use my tax money, and if you stop them, I'm going to kill you.
But you can see the hand of God in all of this. Most new kings want to wipe out everything the old king.
True. Yeah, here Darius is coming in and reaffirming everything. Now, part of the reason why Darius is reaffirming Cyrus is because Darius, in order for his legitimacy, is saying, I happen to be a relative of Cyrus. And therefore, all of you people who were loyal to Cyrus and Candace, you should be loyal to me too, because I'm part of the family. We share a great grandfather. And that's what you were talking about there up on that stone wall, that rock wall, the inscription on the Buddhistan mountain is a statement that my father and my grandfather and my great-grandfather also happen to share the father of Candace and Cyrus, and we are related to each other. And because we're related to each other, I'm going to reaffirm everything Cyrus does because we're buddies. And that was part of his way in order to establish his power. Because when Darius took over, there's 20 satrapies. There are 20 different provinces. And these provinces, most of them go into rebellion. They go into rebellion because there's a new guy. We don't think he's strong enough to make us pay taxes. In the first, I can't remember, 10 years or so of Darius' reign, he is involved in 19 wars. He wins every one of them. And the story about how he conquered Babylon a second time is fascinating. It's a story that's worth sharing.
All right. Anyway, you'll like the story of how brass conquered Babylon. So true, so. But it's a fascinating story how he does it. Okay, so the reason we care is 457 is important. 457 is important because we want the prophecy of Daniel 9 to get us to Jesus. We also reference 457 when we're looking at the prophecy of Daniel 8. By the way, the prophecy of Daniel 9 that we care about was given here. That's what this Daniel 9 dream is in the first year of Darius. That is the year in which the prophecy of Daniel 9 is given. That is that when the decree is to issue, it's 1 year before God gives his decree, it's 1 year before Darius issues the decree, it is 17 years after Cyrus does. Okay? So it's important. The Daniel 8 decree happens to be given all, or Daniel 8 vision is given all the way back here. So the Daniel 8 vision, which we based the 2300 evening and morning on, is given right here. And Daniel says, I don't understand Daniel 8. He gave me the vision and I don't get it. And God sends Gabriel here to give him an explanation of this vision. I know, another disturbing. I'm not happy with that all the way. He has a pattern of waiting here.
All right, so let's set 457 aside. We've got them all. Where do we end up if we set that aside?
All right, if we use 539 or if we use 520 as the year that God says is applicable, then we have a serious problem with getting to Jesus. We also have a serious problem with the 2300 evenings and mornings. That is a major threat to Christianity. And therefore, we will encounter a massive amount of resistance to anything that doesn't get us to 457. So when we read the Bible says the temple is destroyed here. The temple is rebuilt here. And if you put Ezra 7 here, as I think you should, then we're far, far short of 457. And this causes us consternation.
So then where were they taking?
So what would we do if we...
Where did the prophecies take you?
All right. So I think that is an extremely important question. I think it is the basic question. I think it's one which we need to explore as Christians. If 457 is not correct, then Jennifer, if you would, if you're still there, go to the next screen. She made it back up here. Good.
Because reaching Jesus is a major thing, and you would expect the prophets.
I don't understand what they're saying.
So if they don't point to Jesus,
the audio is just too poor for me.
Is we would need to read the prophecy of Daniel, and we would need to read the prophecy of Daniel 8, and say, if 457 is not right, then what do those prophecies mean? There's a lot of information crammed into the day of the prophecy. The Gabriel vision that he gives says a whole lot of stuff. In fact, there are some things that are difficult to make fit. But we make them fit because we want to. So I think it is definitely worth going to and exploring the pros and cons. We'll say, after looking at those, we say, we have to make 457 work. One way or the other, we have to do it. Or we come along and say, okay, if 457 is not right, then what does Daniel 9 mean? The decree to restore and build Jerusalem, there will be 70 sevens for your and your holy city to put away sin. There's six things listed which are supposed to be done, starting with whenever that decree is given. Now, we can take a look. Did the Jews, so let's say we choose the year 520. I'd say that's correct. Let's just say we choose 520. Did the Jews put away sin here? Did
during that period of time? Did the Jews do any of the other five things that are listed there in Daniel chapter 9? The other possibility is that that prophecy has a different application in a different time. So, effectively, what we do, let's imagine this in your mind. I'm going to give you a very basic question. We're going to take 3 plus 5 equals 10. 3 plus 5 equals 10. Is that correct? Which first problem is my problem with the 3? Is my problem with the 5? Or is my problem with the 10? Or is it with my plus? Or is it with my equals? If I have 3 plus 5 equals 10, which one's wrong? And how do I know which one's wrong? So right now, what we're doing is we're going through, and this is our 3. Our 586 is our 3. And my 5 is this 520. I take 3 plus 5 equals 10. If I do 3 plus 5 and it doesn't equal 10, is my 10 wrong? Or is it my 3 or is it my 5 that's wrong? So, because we are pretty darn sure that the 10 must be right, we need to go and either change our 3 or change our 5 or insert a 3 or a 2 into our equation. So, what we need to do is explore. Is this one wrong? Is this one wrong? Or is this one wrong? If at the end of the day we decide this is right, if we decide that the Bible is correct in this, if we decide that Ezra 7 goes there, then we're either going to have to do something to get us from here to here. We have to add a number to our equation, 3 plus 5 plus 2. Where's our 2? We know there's a 2. Where is it? We have to go find it. We conclude that our 10 is not right. And that is an extremely dangerous thing to say.
Or another conclusion, another significant event that happens.
That's correct. So what I think we've done as we look at this is we know 586 is correct. Jeremiah's ancestors will go 70 years, which will put us in 516. And according to the Bible, 516 is the year in which the temple is completed. The Ezra 7, which we have not read here yet, which we can do next week or whatever, is Ezra 7 is going to tell us that all the Jews are free. That's what that decree says. And our little worksheet that you have there, take it home. The answers are all there. Look at it. Remember, if you only study your Bible when you come to church, but you don't do it the rest of the week, you're in a spiritual family. So don't start yourself with that. Take it home. Open your Bible and read it yourself. The ones that you want to read are Ezra chapter 6 and chapter 7. Nehemiah threw it in for good measure, but Nehemiah talks about building a wall. That, by the way, happens in the 20th year of either this king or this guy. So either the wall is built in 501 or the wall is built in 444. You can figure out which one makes sense. You'll find that there's some small tracks and other things I have on there, which persuades me the wall was rebuilt in 501. Now, both Ezra and Nehemiah usually use the word Artaxerxes for the name of the king. Every Bible commentator you will read tells you Artaxerxes is this guy. But we also know that this guy also goes by the name of Artaxerxes. And so does this guy. And so, and then Ezra, which is in the story of Esther. Darius' father's name was Ahasuerus. I think he was Ahasuerus, and I think Xerxes was Ahasuerus. And the title Ahasuerus and the title Artaxerxes are kings. So anyway, question is, I understand that we want to understand, we want to know what this information is bearing. This is history. In some ways it's boring, in other ways it's fascinating. The part that's fascinating is the Bible tells us Daniel has his first dream, or the Daniel dream here, he has his other dream here. We're told in which year Cyrus does this, we're told exactly when these events happen. All of that, when we put those stories together. And by the way, the Zechariah, which you referenced there and read, Jesus talks about that same Zechariah being killed. Now, if Zechariah gives the decree, or he's part of the reason why this temple gets built, here, we kill him. And why? He would have had to have been killed somewhere in this area by the very people who built the temple, by according to God's instructions. And Jesus turns around and condemns him for doing it. The story of Zechariah in and of itself is interesting. The story of Zerubbabel and how his family is cursed, and yet he ends up building the temple, is an interesting story in and of itself. There's a lot of information. In fact, you'll find a lot of stories are about this time period right here.
So I've got weeks and years of information.
There's a tremendous amount of information. If you will take the time to take that worksheet, go through it, spend a little time on it, bring it back next week and we'll look at it some more. We only got to the first two or three questions. Anyway, I'm sure that I'm past time the clock's a little longer working up there. And for those of you who have done your homework, there are cookies for you. For those of you who have not done your homework, you can earn a cookie by doing your homework. Okay. Okay.